Bienvenue à la balado-diffusion sur Radio Créon du colloque sur le rapport Taylor-Bouchard qui s'est tenu à Montréal en mai 2009. Welcome to the audio podcast on Radio Créon of the conference on the Bouchard-Taylor report that took place in Montreal in May 2009.
Le relais, Jean-Claude Tremblay approuve Richard qui cherche mot de l'œil. La passe est ici, il est seul. Il lance.
Vous allez voir ça, vous allez nous aimer.
So I will speak in English here. Our presenters will be speaking in English. And our presenters today are... Okay, ça va? Ça marche? Monique DeVos, who is an associate professor of political science at Williams College in Massachusetts. All three of our panelists today are work in multiculturalism, in part. And her most recent book is a reissue of her, now in 2009, a paperback, of a 2006 book, Gender and Justice in Multicultural Liberal States with Oxford University Press. Our next presenter is Jeff Spinner-Halev, who is the Keenan Eminent Professor of Political Ethics at the Department of Political Science at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Among his publications is Surviving Diversity, Religion and Democratic Citizenship from 2000, and co-edited with Abigail Eisenberg, Minorities Within Minorities, Equality, Right, and Diversity, 2005. And our commentator today is from Montreal, Jacob Levy, who is a Tomlinson Professor of Political Theory in the Department of Political Science at McGill University. And he's the author of a book called The Multiculturalism of Fear with Oxford University Press from 2000. So with that, I give the floor to Monique DeVos.
Bon, je vais faire mes commentaires en anglais, malheureusement, malgré mon nom, je me sens plus à l'aise en anglais. Et selon la règle que Daniel nous a expliquée hier, je vais parler en anglais. Thanks very much for the invitation. I'm really happy to be able to join you in discussing the report. My comments are going to focus firstly on the framing of the commission's task, and secondly, on the way that relevant social groups are understood and defined in the report, both implicitly and explicitly, and I believe these two are closely connected. As you'll see, my perspective is informed by largely American, but I think also Canadian and British, critical theorizing about race and ethnicity within discussions of pluralism and multiculturalism. So if I were to use Abigail Eisenberg's question from yesterday, you know, what would this report look like if it were done in the United States? I think that at least a lot of progressive voices, I think, would be raising some of the issues that I'm planning to raise today. As numerous commentators noted yesterday, the Commission's focus steered the report towards looking at religious differences and the way that these can become a source of tension in a variety of public and private institutional settings. My chief observation with this framing is that it partly helps to shape and constitute the very groups that are at the heart of these social tensions. So while on the one hand it seems unproblematic to discuss, for example, Quebecers of French-Canadian origin and Muslim citizens, in another sense the report is really helping to reinforce these particular understandings of persons over other possible descriptions. And it also highlights these particular dimensions of individuals' identities over others. So Muslims, for example, are assumed to be practicing Muslims of a certain kind, and immigrants, and Quebecers are assumed to be mainly secular and concerned with protecting their French language and history. Now, I recognize that any attempt to address and remedy social problems is going to require working descriptions of the thing that needs fixing and the parties and dynamics involved. There's just no getting around this. And as Dominique Ledet said yesterday, there's a necessary simplification that has to happen. You need to have handles and descriptions. And I'm not going to submit you to a torturous neo-Marxist deconstruction of the logic of identity, et cetera. You know, you all know the drill. But I do think that setting up the problem as one of tensions relating to religious and cultural accommodation practices did put the commission on a particular footing, and that it's useful to step back a couple of paces and wonder, well, which problems tend to drop from view and as a result, and which dimensions of groups' identities and experiences are similarly demoted and which are amplified. So on my reading of it, the report, particularly in the first half, tends to play up the religious identities of immigrants and to downplay the racialization of social groups. Such as Muslims, but also French Canadian Quebecers who are raced silently as white European of European extraction. And the phenomenon of racialized identity, which we've we've used the term this weekend, so identity viewed through the prism of raced social relations of power, a few steps away from biological traits, I think that gets pushed into the distance in the report, despite frequent references to discrimination. The report does use the term racialized group towards the end of the report, in the final quarter, I would say, but it doesn't really ask, for example, how North African immigrants to Quebec, including second-generation persons, come to be racialized within Quebec society as Arabs, as Muslims, viewed as having trouble integrating within Quebec society. So in important ways, the report does explicitly recognize that Quebec's identity can't just include French-Canadian culture, but must make room for other social groups. And I think I was very encouraged by those references in the report. But I think the language of majority and minority, which is used throughout the report, reinforces the boundary lines of these so-called social groups and their unequal status and positions. It doesn't merely describe them, is my claim. And I'm thinking here of the many references to ethnocultural majority and to minority groups, as well as the really troubling we-them language that we see at some points. For example, on page 84 of the full report, there's a sentence that says, the way to overcome Islamophobia is to draw closer to Muslims, not to flee them. In this respect, it should be noted that the accommodation cases related to Muslims that received the widest media coverage all concerned activities related to participation in or integration into our society, i.e. the visit to the sugar house, participation in soccer, etc. I think that even yesterday I saw that this we-them language resurfaced with troubling frequency, actually. If we apologize, then what? Or we must make room for other groups. Even though, as Will Kimlicka pointed out, it's a kind of silent we, because, English-speaking Canadians, for example, as he pointed out, are not don't have a sense of we. So there's the sort of silent white, racialized as white we that is not really being discussed. So my claim is that, to continue the example of Muslims, that Muslims are in some sense created treated as this natural group entity rather than as constructed through a set of social relations of power put into motion, particularly by the provincial but also the federal governments and other institutions as well, media, schools, work, and so forth. Now, Tariq mentioned to us yesterday, I think we should remember that that sometimes racialized social groups participate in taking on the very identity that is so problematic. So he talked about Muslims taking on self-consciously an identity as Muslims in opposition to developments in Britain. And I think I do think it is a two-way relationship, and that's important to remember. Okay, so you may ask, well, what difference would it make to treat North African immigrants, for example, as a racialized group or groups within Quebec? Is this just nomenclature? Is it just an issue of naming? I believe it would change the discussion about racial inclusion and exclusion profoundly, and also about racial discrimination in particular, because it opens up the frame of observation. So it becomes possible, it actually becomes essential to talk about the institutional and systematic forms of racial discrimination, not just the more informal discrimination by private citizens or private sector employers. And it also invites us to think about the way in which mainstream Quebecois society is constructed as somehow the neutral, privileged, historical, cultural baseline to which other groups may be added. I think a deeper recognition of racialized social groups would have allowed the Commission to address racial discrimination and exclusion experienced by individuals that are not also religious minorities. For example, the systematic forms of racial discrimination that blacks in Quebec face, which is mentioned in the report but can't receive much recognition given the report's focus on harmonization practices. And yet, it seems to me the lessons that could be learned from comparing the situation of North and West African immigrants to, say, black Quebecers of Afro-Caribbean descent is really striking. There was a 2005 provincial government report that notes that the rate of unemployment for blacks in the province is 17.1% compared with 8.2% for the general population. And this is despite a slightly higher level of educational attainment. The discrepancy, as we know from the report, is repeated in the case of North African immigrants, where the gap between educational attainment is even more striking, and the unemployment figures are similar. So more unemployment, less jobs, fewer jobs. And yet, racism is treated as largely extraneous to the central problem of integration. The report says that racism and xenophobia are caused primarily by fear and insecurity on the part of Quebecers, and suggests that racism does not lead to denial of accommodation requests per se. They're separate issues. The report prefers to focus on culturally inflected differences like ethnicity. It defines ethnicity as a neutral concept on page 188. It has to do with, quote, customs, traditions, representations, or worldviews, so aspects of identity. And then it describes ethnism and xenophobia as denoting a hierarchy based on ethnic or cultural traits. The report then defines racism in chapter 9 as basing, quote, hierarchy on physical or biological traits. So not perceived traits, but on the traits themselves. It assures us that ethnism and xenophobia are separate phenomena, though it acknowledges that it's not always possible to disentangle them. That's a quote. The report readily acknowledges that ethnism and xenophobia are present in Quebec society, but it claims that racism is much less prevalent. It takes comfort in the observation that, quote, relations between immigrants and the host society in Quebec do not display the same level of tension and socioeconomic exclusion found in certain European countries. But the possibility that these social practices, racism, ethnicism, xenophobia, are deeply imbricated at so many points is just left unexplored. And I really think this is a missed opportunity. Nor is the idea of intersectional identity and interlocking disadvantage addressed in much detail. So the way in which an individual's multiple identities or markings, race, sex, language, nationality, can combine to produce compounded inequalities, greater than the sum of the parts. So framing the problem then around what it calls the reasonable accommodation crisis also led to a focus on individual incidents of accommodation requests as reported in the media. I think this reinforces the supplicant-respondent model clearly, the media is complicit in this process of separating religious groups, and I think that the report does a good job of showing that. Now, the term racialized group begins to make an appearance on page 228, it's in a passage dealing with the de-skilling of new immigrants that notes the drop in social class experienced by many upon their arrival in Quebec. It's especially a problem for women, as it notes that 3 out of 10 immigrant women who have undergone this drop actually have university degrees. But the report then quickly follows this with the assertion that racism is less apparent, page 231, and that instead we see evidence of ethnism. There's little express proof of discrimination, it says, and so it must proceed by looking at discrimination by effect or proof by effect. And it reminds us that there's no higher rate of racial incidence in Quebec than elsewhere. Seems like a kind of high bar. The use of the cultural group paradigm, I think, to cover persons marked as religious and ethnic others, I think effectively brackets race, all the while letting this kind of silent language of race in racialized groups take effect. So we learn about the challenges that religious minorities face in a variety of settings. We learn a lot about the conflicts and frustrations felt by those who are in a position to accommodate, but we don't get to explore the deeper and more pervasive processes by which newcomers to Quebec in particular come to be seen and treated as minorities of a certain kind. Now, as many of you will know, there are many eminent critics of multiculturalism that have also pointed to the pitfalls associated with this cultural group paradigm, which we really use so readily in Canadian political theory. I like to think of it as a kind of black box, you know, cultural groups, kind of black box into which we put everything, all these, markings or aspects of different socially salient aspects of group life. But there's, as always, a very ambiguous status accorded to race in this black box, so to speak. So I think of work by Yasmin Abu-Laban, for example, Canadian political theorist, who writes of this tendency to conflate so many differences under the culture rubric, treating ethnic and racial differences as basically natural givens. Now, it makes perfect sense if you use the cultural group view that the commission would not spend much time on racial discrimination because it's clearly against the law. There can be no equivocation about this. There's no question about accommodating, you know, racial bigotry or and such. But on the other hand, this bifurcated view where you've got culture, religion, ethnicity over here and race over here. Leads to a reluctance to attribute inequalities to racial discrimination. For example, it notes that Muslim requests for adjustment appear to be more numerous, but says it's only because of the number of Muslims in the public school system. Now, on that issue of high unemployment and higher poverty rates, discrimination against racialized groups does get mentioned here, but it's at the end of a long list of causes that starts with references to the time required to adapt. And I want to compare this just briefly with a recent study by the Montreal-based Institute for Public Policy for research on public policy. In a recent report, they try to make sense of the high unemployment rates for Moroccan immigrants and Algerian newcomers, 17.5 and 27.2% respectively. And the researchers also looked at North African job seekers, or not just these job seekers in Montreal and Sherbrooke, but also looked at employment counselors at various provincial offices. And what comes through really clearly in the report is the extent to which the job seekers experience discrimination at all levels. I wanted to just read out a couple of quotes that I think show that to many of the job seekers, the problems go far beyond the issues of accreditation and equivalence, which the report, Taylor Bouchard report, treats as basically the main solution to this kind of discrimination. So an Algerian immigrant with a master's in finance and computer science, Mehdi, who's lived in Montreal for 3 years, says, même s'il y a un travail, on te met tous les bâtons, tous les roues pour que tu ne passes pas. Même s'il y a un travail, ce n'est pas pour nous. L'obtention de ce diplôme, est-ce que ça va résoudre le problème ou bien le problème de tête arabe, tête noire, ça sera toujours présent. Then Karim, who's an Algerian veterinarian, he may be vegetarian too, I don't know. He says after living in Montreal for 9 months, ici, ce n'est pas beaucoup de chance. Je n'ai pas beaucoup de chance. Parce que ici, je crois, selon mes convictions personnelles, que c'est une société un peu fermée. Sincèrement, vous êtes très fermée. And a Sherbrooke-based employment counselor, Germain, remarks about interviewing of North Africans. On leur demande fréquemment, en entrevue, par exemple, que pensez-vous du terrorisme? Que pensez-vous de Ben Laden? Que pensez-vous du 11 septembre? Okay, so that's that report. So, I'm just giving these as some examples to show that the kind of neat way that the report tries to resolve these examples or the fact of discrimination by just saying, okay, we need procedures in place, you know. And then I guess to just link back with something that was said yesterday by Abigail, I worry that if you don't have a really frank and open discussion about racism at all levels, and have an open mind with respect to that, rather than just, you know, assuming that the problem is one of harmonization practices and the anxiety of French Quebecers with, you know, integration. If you don't have that kind of openness, then if you do go with the citizen route, and on the grounds that the legal route doesn't give the people on the ground in the situation enough flexibility and discretion, then you're going to run into problems because you're going to have these, you know, clearly, you know, like sort of unspoken but obvious to really to all participants inequalities, and you know, as I pointed out, racialized group identities at play, and there's going to be a tendency to want to deal with or resolve the problems using things like you know, better processes for accrediting Algerian and Moroccan diplomas and work experience, and we're not going to have the more open conversation. Now, I understand, again, what can you do? I mean, the conversation, I think, between Charles Taylor and Wilhelm Licka was interesting, you know, Taylor recognizing and acknowledging that there's only so much you can do in a report of this type, and that they didn't want to really open up and to challenge some of the nationalists, the more knee-jerk nationalist attitudes that they know are prevalent, that they'd rather just kind of put them on ice. And I think that a similar move maybe is done. I don't know if it was intentional or not. I mean, maybe they really don't think it's a problem, except sort of over there in pockets in civil society, and that there's no bigger systematic, you know. I mean, I'm not an empirical social scientist, so I don't have a lot of evidence to give you, but it does seem from the, you know, from a variety of sources, that this is not something that Quebec is not a post-racist society. You know, there are still issues here. So I think I'll just, you know, close and say that the stated task of the commission, I think for me is a big problem, and the way that it treats social groups. And it seems to me that it's an important background question of the commission's work is surely, well, is Quebec a place in which persons of diverse religious, ethnic, and racial identities feel and are treated as equal citizens? And to me, it's not clear how this question can be answered without asking uncomfortable questions about the social processes and political processes through which individuals and groups are constituted as groups, as racialized as groups. And nor is it possible to get at this injustice without a much franker discussion of racial discrimination. Thanks.